Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
It's hour five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, and it's time now for Wolchuk to deliver some sports. Here he is, Zach.
Marcus Semien had a visit with the media yesterday, and Sean McFarland went ahead and wrote a great article about it in the Morning News. Quote from Marcus Semien: "This team in general has a lot of work to do to get out of this funk we've been in for the last 2 years. We had a decent year this year, but this last stretch really hurt us. You think about these last 2 years, it's not where we want to be. We want to be in the postseason. I'm not the one making decisions about who's in this clubhouse. I definitely know the kind of team I want to play on. That's guys who are hungry and wanting to go for a championship every year." Interesting.
I love that.
Nuggets from Marcus.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he's been here a while. We haven't heard much of it. But, I mean, this quote here and then the story from a couple of weeks ago, where was it? Jeff Wilson reported that he's trying to get guys together, but they're just not getting the turnout for the team bonding off the diamond. Yeah, that makes me more optimistic about Marcus Semien. I hope he's still good enough as a player to command the attention of everybody involved, because desperately that's what this team needs. And I feel like in the clubhouse there has become sort of this, oh well, we'll try our best, and if it doesn't go our way, fine, type of attitude. And I think you need some of that in baseball to insulate yourself from the grind, but you also need great leadership and urgency, and Semien's providing that.
Yeah, he is. It's tough to know for sure what's going on behind closed doors, because I tried to ask around about, you know, the Jeff Wilson report, and some of it is like, I don't know how well liked Marcus necessarily is.
Oh,
so it, like, because I love what he said there. You know, I want somebody to, because you're right. Like, I wonder about the leadership void in that clubhouse, because Corey's not that guy. So then does Marcus have to step up and be that guy? But I wonder if some of that has to do with these younger guys maybe just not gelling and vibing with what Marcus is selling. So, I mean, I don't know if the Rangers are able to move Marcus Semien. I do wonder if that's something they would try, because you could look at this two ways.
Yeah,
you could. Is he the problem, or is everything he's saying right and they need to look in the mirror, and maybe it's, I don't know who else it could be.
And they don't like being held accountable from a team leader.
Right. Yeah, right, 100%.
There's a lot of athletes on every team who sort of resent the leader because he's asking them to do more than, yes, what they're accomplishing.
Could this be him trying to kind of find a way out for himself?
Could be.
That, like, maybe that you're the squeaky wheel and you kind of say some things, and then Manny goes, I'm not the one making the decisions, you know, but he's trying to maybe plant the seed that he doesn't want to be here anymore, but his contract is prohibited. Don't get me wrong.
Which is I think that they have possibly tried. I don't have this confirmed by any means, but I do think that there has been if the opportunity presented itself and a team was willing to take on that deal, they would do it.
Right.
Because the play is not specifically offensively, it's not meeting the salary right now.
If
you could move him, you would.
Yeah.
And Major League Baseball is full of guys with a contract like this that were around 30 and you had to do way too long of a deal to get them because of what the luxury tax does, suppressing the annual salary. So how teams make up for that and give the player the value is, okay, well, we'll pay you like a superstar even when you're 36, 37, 38. And there's a massive downside to it. And if you don't have money like the Dodgers or the Yankees, you just can't buy yourself back into the game once those guys get, you know, past their expiration date as all-star level players.
Yeah, and it's tough too, like, to the idea that maybe they don't really like jive with Marcus. One, I think when it is difficult when you have a bunch of young 20-somethings, not married, no kids, and then you have a guy like Marcus, who we know is super regimented, family man, different kind of deal. And I don't know that being the everyday voice and leader of that team is something that really comes natural to him either. Yeah. Like, it definitely isn't for Corey. And I think, to some extent, hey, credit to Marcus for at least, you know, maybe trying to. I just don't think he's the day-in, day-out voice of that team. And then all of a sudden you pop up in a random moment here or there, and it's like, well, I mean, okay, so now you want to kind of like try and be that guy.
And
you
I think the coaching staff, I want, and maybe you get new coaches. I mean, maybe Boach is gone.
Yeah.
But, I wonder if it's a Marcus, if Marcus is more of the problem than he thinks he is.
I just wonder, though, my guy bats, like, he gets 600 at-bats.
Mm-hmm.
He plays every day.
Yeah, there's respect for that.
I mean, there's, like, what do they not respect about him as a ball player?
I think might be at the...
I think this is all personality. I think it's very personality
driven.
I think because
I think negativity sometimes can be an issue. And I think that they wonder if that's like, is Josh Jung kind of that way as well when he's not getting the results? And is it something about... Because I know Josh has tried to emulate how Corey goes about his business. And that's not Corey's fault. But what Corey does doesn't work for everybody else, right?
Yeah.
So then you get the narrative of like, okay, the Corey leadership stuff. They kind of came out. Well, you know, I know Choppy alluded to that.
He's not a leader, though.
No.
And he doesn't want to be.
Exactly.
Where
but he's
like,
the best player, so naturally it's like, oh, the best player needs to be the lead. But that's not Corey. And that might not be Marcus either.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. And that is one of those intangibles that this team desperately needs.
Yeah.
And it generally does have to come from, like, it's cool, you got your glue guys, you got your vibe guys, whatever. They have their place and they're important. But you do need at least to be one of your clearly better players as kind of being that guy.
And I think Wyatt will turn out to be that guy.
Really? He's got to earn. I don't know about
Hey, I've heard why it is. The vocal leader type.
It's fair for us to be surprised by that, though.
I do.
But he's also so young right now, you kind of have to grow into that role.
I just kind of feel like that he's a guy that's kind of into his own self.
No, I think Wyatt's he definitely has some of that natural born. That stuff that I had kind of heard when they drafted him that they liked about his personality. But then talking to people now, like, who could be that guy? The one name I got was Wyatt Langford.
Let me be honest here, and I totally respect your sources. I think that's wishing.
I think it's just hopium.
I think it's hope, and I trust me, I'm not trying to kill your sources because you know that ball team. But I think right now that's like wishing that Micah Parsons would be a leader.
Yeah, and maybe. I mean, I think going into year three, they were hoping Micah would be that guy, and then they found out he wasn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm hopeful on Wyatt as well, but maybe that's something that they need to look at because they brought in, like, the good vibes guys. They brought in Peterson. They brought in Jake Berger, and that was something that when we were out there at spring training, it was all about, hey, we're going to have a good clubhouse. The clubhouse vibes are going to be good. We got people that will keep everyone loose. I think now it's
maybe
like
that's what, maybe
less loose. We kind of need somebody that's going to go up and say, this is not acceptable, hold you accountable, maybe get into your face.
That's why I think Simeon's complaining. They got too many vibe guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe, you know, like I said, hey, Simeon, I
can't have too much vibe.
Well, I'm just saying, though, to him, he is the one guy that I look at every day. I feel like whether he's good or bad, he's playing ball every single day. You know, he's out there every single day.
Yeah.
And you know, and maybe he's trying to make up for Corey and others, but I just kind of feel like that to me, he's the one guy that I kind of feel like that if he says something, I'm kind of believing what he's saying.
Yeah, I perked up when he said that, and then I didn't get quite the response I expected to in regards to just how Mike how Marcus is viewed.
Man, I feel like I misevaluate this Cowboy team all the time, you know, which is like what I think. And then you hear stuff in the locker room, like, what?
It's tough. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Not being in that room every day is kind of
different. I like the quote that he said, but I don't know. Maybe
I do too.
Without knowing, you know, 100% how everybody else feels in that clubhouse and the coaching staff, maybe he is more of the root to some of the frustrations that he has than he thinks he is.
No,
I don't know.
Very well could happen. He also could be looking to try and talking his way out of this thing.
He absolutely could be. This is going to be a big time Sunday Night Football game, fellas, because Sunday Night Football is trying to make this like their Super Bowl. They are giving it the Super Bowl-like treatment, according to Fox Front Office Sports. NBC's bringing its entire Football Night in America pregame show to AT&T Stadium. Yeah. They're going to have their daily fantasy football and betting show, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, all going to air from AT&T Stadium. And the Cowboys have played on Sunday Night Football way more than anybody else in the entire NFL. They love having their Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football.
This is their opportunity because do we have any more Sunday games after this? This might be the one.
It might be the last one. They got two Monday nighters.
The one that doesn't get flexed.
I don't know that they're going to be a flexing team.
That is great news for the Cowboys, according to Mickey Fisher, who with Sean and RJ this morning said any big game Mike is not going to produce, you just have to attach a bowl to it, and he'll put up a donut for you.
Yeah, they've got Minnesota.
Yeah,
they got the Vikings on Sunday Night Football at home.
Yeah, this might be the one time they say, we'll make that a...
Maybe.
We're going to make that a noon game.
I wouldn't mind it. 83rd time Cowboys are playing on Sunday Night Football. Next closest team, the Steelers, with 60 appearances. So the Cowboys, 23 more.
23, what did you say, 60? You say for the
83 to 60.
83 to 60.
In terms of games
played. Yeah, 60 of those games have been against the Ravens.
Yeah, a lot of them. Absolutely, they've been against the Ravens. All right, speaking of the Steelers, Mike Tomlin. Just putting Anthony Richardson on blast. Did you guys see this? He takes to the podium, and he just had this sideswipe of one Anthony Richardson.
In the short term that Carson is playing for him, we were in a similar situation a year ago. We were playing in Indianapolis, man, and I commented to the guys that, you know, keep Richardson upright. Don't put Flacco in the game, and, you know, Flacco ended up in the game.
And then he did end up playing much better, but he was saying this in terms of like J.J. McCarthy getting hurt, and now they have Carson Wentz. And so maybe this ends up being a good thing for Minnesota because he's liking what he saw from Carson Wentz. He's got respect for Wentz.
Is this a Dublin game? Are we in Dublin for this one?
Yeah, this is Dublin, Ireland.
Oh, this is going to be like 8:30 a.m. Breakfast kickoff.
Yeah, I love
Dublin
it.
Game,
I love
maybe
it.
He's worried about Max Brosmer, who's Carson Wentz's backup.
Good Lord.
Keep Carson upright, guys. You got to go Brosmer there, don't you? Probably.
Man,
Minnesota Gopher. Golden Gopher.
That's who that is?
Yeah, Max. I've saw him at the Tribe Bowl.
That's right.
Spin it a little bit.
Kenny.
How can I not remember these names?
Max Brosmer. Yeah. Richardson, by the way,
before he age more than the weed.
Anthony Richardson was 3-4. Yeah. The age more than I think it's the Blue Dolphins coming back to bite him.
Oh, there's no question about that.
There are some effects.
The days of the Baton Rouge Zoo. On the
All of a sudden
slopes.
He wakes up and he's starting to get a little tingle again.
Yeah.
Richardson was pretty good before leaving that game, though. 3-4, 75 yards, 24 on the ground.
Maybe he just got tired, I think.
He just retired. That's when he tapped out. Yeah, he just said, I'm done.
Oh, that was that?
It wasn't the tap out game.
They literally...
He legitimately got hurt.
The whole plan was to keep him upright, and you literally had him tapping out.
He took himself out of the game. He ruined it for all of us.
How disrespectful is that? Like, hey, defense. Like, obviously, we want pressure the quarterback or whatever, but like...
Hold him up.
Really, please keep him upright. Like, imagine he's got a red jersey on. Matter of fact, can we get him one?
Yeah, it's nuts. All right, let's hear from Darren Woodson. This was yesterday.
I think Eberflus might be saying that to our guys.
Maybe.
Keep these quarterbacks up.
Just make sure, you know, just don't hurt them.
Don't hurt these
guys. We don't
want
the backups coming in the game.
We don't
want
to see
these backups.
That would
explain a lot, and that would make me feel better about the situation.
I was going to ask Ferguson. He said he played some defense. Could he get out there and get on the edge?
The most asked fan question was like, is there any way he can play corner? Can you play defensive end? And I just didn't want to just rip on the defense too bad in front of him. I think he knows they got issues on that side of the ball. He's a pretty self-aware guy. Here was Woody. 25-year anniversary from George Teague defending the star was yesterday.
I was there.
So NFL Films went ahead, asked Woody about it. This was his thoughts.
I got ejected, so I don't remember much of it. Look, I was looking to get kicked out, kind of. I was looking for a fight. We were getting our asses thumped, right?
And flags come flying. One of the Cowboys kicked the ball after it was placed down by the officials. Let's take another look.
Yeah, here's Woodson right here, and there's Jeremy Newberry steps right on his groin, and I don't think that was intentional either.
The referee gets in the way, and I kind of bumped the ref.
Oh, yeah, you go.
I just went in on the ref.
Darren Woodson better watch out, or he's going to get himself tossed out of here.
I remember the ref saying my name, not Woodson. He called me by my first name. The referee said, Darren, you're out of here.
Oh, now he throws his helmet.
He'll be gone now if he hasn't been ejected already.
I never been kicked out of a game.
Right.
I didn't know what to do, so I get in the shower. All of a sudden, boom, George Teague walks in. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's so upset. He's so pissed. He can't even talk to me. Ask him again, what happened? He's like, man, I don't want to talk about it. So we both just left.
You left the stadium?
We didn't know what to do.
Y'all didn't even stay after the... Oh,
no, okay. We didn't know what... I mean, we were just sitting there. We're like, what are we going to do? We can't watch the game. We can't walk back down. We're just going to sit here? So we left. And that's when I saw, when I got home, I saw the replay.
In real time, he didn't even know about the George Teague attack on T.O.
I'm not trying to make myself part of this story, but I was actually in the locker room when this happened.
Okay.
I went down from the press box because I wanted to tell Woody, like, because he's my favorite player. Yeah. So I wanted to go talk to him. I'm like, hey, man, thank you for, you know, having the honor you did and all that. And he came out of the shower, and Teague came in, and he looked at Teague, and Teague, he's like, hey, what happened to you? And he goes, I got kicked out. And he goes, it's about effing time that somebody got pissed off around here. Ooh. And then that's when, they're right, they both just kind of, I told him goodbye. But I was down there talking to Woody when T got kicked
that's
out.
That's crazy.
And they did. They were both kind of sitting there. And Woodson was so, I mean, he was beside himself. I apologized again for having a terrible team. You know, I'm like, listen, I'm really sorry.
I mean,
sorry.
The thing was deteriorating.
That guy's like a Hall of Fame defensive player. And we had this horse-ass team.
That game was gross.
God.
But it did give me one of my favorite Emmett moments ever, where after he scores, he goes right back to the star, takes off the helmet, slams it on the star. I mean, that's a beautiful, beautiful image. Unfortunately, the game was just awful.
It was terrible.
It was, but a terrific story from Broadus.
I'm glad I played it. It kind of made it even better.
Thank you for doing that, because like I said, I went down there to tell Woody, you know, to apologize and to tell him, you know, how sorry I was. And then that's when Teague comes walking in and he goes, hey, it's about effing time somebody got mad around.
And credit to Woody for not going full Bill Parcells on you in there when he had the opportunity.
He was leaving, and I was just sitting there. I was watching the game on the TV in the locker room. I was just sitting and just kind of waiting, just seeing what was going to happen. And then that's when Teague did the whole thing where he got after T.O. And
that's
then,
great.
Man, I was like, holy geez, yes, it would just happen.
Well, it's about damn time we get some Krusty's Corner, Brian.
Let's talk about this Packers defense. Well,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Do that
now. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Monster game coming up with the Packers. You know, I think this is a chance to reverse course, to correct your trends, to show that what happened against the Giants and Bears was preventable. And that we can get everybody on the same page. And how amazing would it be to be broadcasting Monday at 2-2 with the Panthers and Jets coming up in back-to-back weeks? Let's do a deep dive on how possible it is for the Cowboys offense to have success against this Packers defense with Brian Broaddus and Krusty's Corner. It's brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Broaddus.
Thank you much for playing that, Lucius. Thank you to Dawson, Bobby, Chief. Appreciate you putting that thing together. Thank you to Reliant as well for being a part of this. All right, guys. This thing ain't all about Micah Parsons, man. They got some ball players on the side of this defense.
Do they now?
They do. And it's really going to be about how well can you handle what they throw at you. And I'm not saying throw at you from a blitz standpoint. I'm just saying, are you ready to play against a defense that will rush 4 and the linebackers do a good job of getting downhill and playing the run? when you talk about Walker and Cooper.
Walker is a big hitter.
Yeah.
I freaking wanted Cooper, man, when they traded Micah. Why didn't we get that guy?
It is, that would have been a nice get.
Kenny Clark's been pretty damn good, though. They're their best defensive player.
I don't disagree.
Get them both.
I kind of feel like, though, this secondary, it's kind of the no-name group. When you start to really dive in, there's not really a superstar player. Xavier McKinney at safety, I think, is pretty good. But Evan Williams, who plays free safety, I just think he is okay. And I'm not going to sit there and say they're really great at safety, but I will say McKinney does have my respect.
They don't have a lot of work to do often.
Yeah, Nixon and Hobbs are the corners with Bullard as the nickel. And so,
Javon Bullard.
And we'll see every once in a while, too. Yeah, you'll see Valentine in there as well, number 24. But it's a secondary. It's really kind of feasted benefited because of how good the front is. And I say the front, I'm talking about their ability to rush the passer. They've got several edges that can rotate. The things that people have done, and I can say Micah didn't play as much in the Detroit game opening day, but he did play quite a bit against the Commanders, and he did play quite a bit against the Browns. I think against the Browns, he was playing hurt. His back was kind of acting up on him. There were a couple of times where they were chipping him. And, you know, sometimes Micah takes some funny hits when they chip him.
Yeah.
And you could tell his back. It was like he was running, and he all of a sudden that just quick stop because somebody hit him, and then it kind of jolts him a little bit.
Get him to take a knee a couple times.
Yeah, he pulled himself out of a couple of, but their pass rush with Gary and Parsons.
I was impressed with Van Ness against Van Cleveland. Ness.
Yeah,
Van Ness played really well.
See, and talking to my guys in Green Bay about Van Ness, they were thinking, even before the season, they were thinking that Van Ness, it's kind of that, you know, in the media and stuff when it's like, oh, this guy's breakout. This is going to be a breakout guy. This breakout guy. They were really, really talking him up that, like, he was going to make that jump. I mean, he was a first-round pick in 2023, and they've kind of been waiting for him to do that. But everybody in Green Bay thought this would be the year, and then, boom, what do? They go trade for Micah Parsons. So now they've got some legitimate, the pass rush guys to do
he
that.
He looks the part.
Yeah.
I think Rashawn Gary has benefited the most. I think Gary's got 4.5 sacks right now.
Yeah, Gary's a very explosive player. And when it's, you know, when we watch these players, that the way that they come off the ball, and it's like they gain so much ground on that first step.
Yeah.
So like he's on the corner, and then he's working to get around.
Making it so tough to get hands on him.
Oh no,
linemen.
It's crazy. You know, the really good pass rushers have that ability to gain a lot of ground and get right on that blocker and get to the corner, and then either dip it or just push you back. And Gary's got that. He's got that explosive step. Him, Parsons. We all know about Parsons and stuff like that. I'm interested to see what happens with Wyatt, the defensive tackle. He's a little bit nicked up right now. So their defensive tackle, him and Carl Brooks, are the two inside guys. And I feel like they're pretty good players, but it's the ends, it's the linebackers, and it's really the one safety. I mentioned about the cloud coverage, talking about cloud. It's that look where you kind of, you know, you can play two deep out of it, and then you play the corner back and the safety down. And so keep an eye on that. You know, sometimes Dak loses track of where guys are. They're going to try and fool him with this cloud coverage, which they play about 36% of the time. But you could see it on tape where, you know, usually the corners, you know, the corner's got that, you know, he's playing short and then the safety's playing back. Well, the cloud, they flip it to try and make you give it just a little bit of a different look. You're going to get zone about 80% of the time against these guys. They're going to play a lot of cover three. That's really that's the single high with the two corners. Four-man rush is really what is their biggest thing. And they're going to blitz. Their big blitz down when they do blitz is going to be the third down. That's right around 32% is what the metrics say there. So that's kind of where their defense is at. The running aspect of this defense, like I say, I'm going to do things to try and take the ball at Micah Parsons in this one. And Dawson, like we talked about yesterday, when he's the backside, I'm going to try my best to be able to kind of try and take him out of the game with blocks, just continually chip him during the game. Whether it's the ball, if you're going away from him, put a guy on him. If it's at him, put a guy on him. Just make him have to defend blocks the whole day. I'd hit him high and I'd hit him down low. I'd try and cut him, make him play with his hands down. That will slow him up a little bit. We've seen some teams do that to him before, where he'll come around the end and then they try and cut him. And now he's very mindful of like, oh, wait a minute. I could get, you know, if I come flying around that corner, I could get cut by somebody. So I would make sure that I do stuff like that in this football.
A lot of span forward on him, maybe even some Hunter Lipke making his money.
To me, if you take the ball at him, it's try, you know, tie it in with the tackle, try and push him, just try and push him, and then make him have to come off with his sore back. Make him have to come off and try and reach a block as he's reach for a tackle. As he's playing the block, that be a way to kind of get him out of there. But nobody, like I say, they're the 30th ranked team in the NFL with rushing attempts against them. They get teams that get behind in games, and they just have to throw the football. I'll be interested to see if Dallas could be able to handle this. But they're one of the best in the league. Matter of fact, not one of the best. They are the best in the league when it comes to successful runs. I mentioned they're right about 24%, which is it's first. Their run steps are right around 18%. Those are plays at the line of scrimmage or negative plays. And then when you're trying to run outside against these guys, it's been kind of a trouble because teams have run the ball 34 times against them for only 134 yards.
Yeah, watching Cleveland, Judkins, it was the interior runs.
It was the interior
that
runs.
They seem to have the most success with.
Yeah. So that's kind of where they're at, and now you have to kind of figure out, you know, when we talked about this yesterday, where do you want Micah Parsons to rush from? If you're the Cowboys, how do you try and set things up to maybe make him have to, you know, can you make sure he's on the outside? Does that help you, or do you want to make sure he's on the inside? But you're going to have a plan for him. There's just you're going to have to drag him off this field in this football game, but I did notice, like I say, the back was bothering him in that Cleveland game, and it was because they kept hitting him and hitting him and hitting him.
Well, that's your opportunity right there, I think, is to run at him. Let me ask you this. Would the Cowboys be interested in running at him so much that depending on where he's lined up, they could change the running plays, flipping a running play? Because you're going to have to run this team, I believe. If you're going to have success on them and set it up for play action passing, because like you mentioned, they have guys whose names I think are foreign to the average Cowboys fan who will be in Dak's face.
Yeah, that's the thing that I would try and set up is if you could get some running game going. But the problem with this, it does kill clock, but man, you can't kick field goals, especially with the way. Now, if you could tell me your defense could get one or two stops a half, you know, if you get maybe two stops, three stops, make them punt at least three times, you know, that's kind of your path for victory. The teams that Dallas has had trouble with are the ones that have been able to score basically on every possession or near every possession, and now they're having to chase and it takes them out of that running game stuff.
I mean, I know we have to consider it, but with a compromised offensive line, Jordan Love with Reed out, They should not have the weapons to light you up. If they're going to go out there and light you up and you're worried about kicking a field goal on one possession, so you got to go for it on fourth and six because you're terrified of them holding the ball, just pack it up and go home.
I would play, if I'm shoddy, I kind of coach this game differently. I'm more interested in maybe taking a Dan Campbell approach.
Yeah.
You know, now, their defense, I think, is good. Their offense, as you mentioned, Dawson, lacks some weapons right now. I do worry about the tight ends, but maybe it's one of those things where you Dan Campbell this thing up and just try your best to keep going for it on fourth down and just try and hold the ball as long as you can and finish drive with some points.
And Zach Tom, his backup, Anthony Belton, and then Aaron Banks again. They're struggling today.
They're struggling, and that's the problem that they have. Their offensive line is really beat up, but do you have the pass rushers to be able to affect the way that they play? I think Matt Eberflus, I said it earlier, I think Matt Eberflus is going to have to maybe do some things that he's uncomfortable with. The man coverage stuff, I think he's going to have to blitz more. You know, I think he's going to have to, because you could affect Jordan Love in the pocket. There'll be some poor throws.
You're not going to be a bend but don't break defense anytime soon.
I don't think so.
What do you think about Jadeveon Clowney saying, how much of a difference could he have made against Chicago? A lot, man. Just bringing my energy, my effort out there. I think that's going to be enough for me. Just let my play do the talking. I mean, yeah, you have to hope that Clowney, Bland and Diggs, and then lessons learned from Giants and Bears. Just evaluate that. The new guys coming in with Bland rejoining the secondary and Jadeveon Clowney. We don't 18% of your starting lineup.
Yeah, we don't know about with Clowney what you expect. You would hope that he could come in and give you something against a couple of tackles that have really struggled. But, you know, you need that. But I think you're going to need this secondary. To me personally, I'm not really interested in taking Stewart off the field at the nickel. You know, I'm more likely to keep Stewart at nickel and let Bland and Diggs play on the outside. And then we always talked about maybe using Elam in a way of maybe using him against Tucker Kraft, the tight end. Maybe put a bigger corner on Tucker Kraft and try and limit the number of passes he sees.
I mean, injuries are a big part of this equation already, just three games in. Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. He previewed the Packers' offense for you yesterday. That was at 3:40 if you want to go back and watch with the Odyssey app or YouTube or whatever it is. But Cowboys wire today, let me see if I can. This was KD Drummond. 10 players the Cowboys are desperately waiting to return to the field. I know in the offseason I had the most unwelcome explanation for Cowboys' failure, and it was that they're basically leading the league and losing all pros and pro bowlers to injury over the last 4 years. I don't even know how you begin to try to fix this. Obviously, there's that annual player survey that doesn't rank their training staff very high, but I think that comes down to personnel. They did a really nice job from about 2015 to 2020 limiting the injuries, and I know they did it, you know, through the draft. It was kind of a personnel thing. But listen to this. How much would Josh Butler help? I think quite a bit. Kalen Carson, I'm not sure.
He's not as good as we thought he was right now.
Jonathan Mingo would help you in the running game. Mm-hmm. And then this is the top seven guys missing. Siobhan Revel, rookie corner, I think he would help. But it's hard to know for sure. Cooper Beebe is out. Perry and Winfrey. DeMarvian Overshone. Tyler Booker, Deron Bland, and C.D. Lamb. I just think as much as coaches love to say next man up, the deck is stacked significantly. It's a lot. And I'm not giving up hope. I think it's interesting that the line went up to 7.5 some books. I saw it today on Bet Online back at 6.5. I think that Cleveland loss exposed quite a bit about the Packers. They look like a runaway freight train, but now that plus the injuries, maybe the injury to Reed at wide receiver, their leading receiver from 2024 is going to make them at least beatable. If you can get some stops, all righty. We're coming back to Cross with Fred and Blake, see what they have cooking here for you coming up in the G-Bag Nation on your home of the Cowboys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back, G-Bag Nation, and the Fan After Dark coming up next with Blake
and one of my favorite football Neanderthals of all time, Freddie D, Fred Davis. How the hell are you guys doing tonight?
I'm just leaning into things.
Man, Blake's really trying to prep out the show and turn into a sports radio pro.
He is. I appreciate it. I mean, he's definitely, like I told him, he went from being laissez-faire to OCD in the matter of 2 weeks, to where I literally had to tell him the other day, like, bro, we gotta
dial this thing back a little bit.
Me and Fred were in the parking lot after Thursday or Friday show, and I thought Fred was going to break down with anger. Monday.
No, it started in the studio, actually.
Yeah. It was like a loving anger. It was like, bro, you are killing me, but I love what you're doing, but you are killing me.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're just trying to find a good balance.
We're just trying to find that happy medium.
Starting Monday, Fan After Dark, Monday through Friday, man. No more off days. So just, you know, I'm excited.
You're not like messing with the show in a bad way, are you?
There will be no more entertainment, no more fun, no more giggles. Well, it'll be straight numbers. No,
that's what we thought.
No.
That's why he and I had to have that sit down.
No.
Because
no.
I said, look.
More of a stand up.
Let's not.
So you're telling me I'm going to miss this. Okay. Hey, but before we go, I want to ask you this. You know, that it's like, we tease something and then, hey, we're up against it. Yeah. But I wanted to ask you.
Well, and see, that's my style.
Yeah.
Right? And we can't neuter that. And so, again, we've had to, you know, find that happy medium.
Yeah.
And I like it
when you tease, like, you know, maybe we'll get to it, maybe we won't.
Hey, we paid off a 9 month tease.
Yeah, that happened.
We paid off a 9 month tease on Sunday.
Mangina?
We paid off the Mangina tease.
It took till Sunday.
Yeah,
we're 3 weeks in the season,
and you know why
before you paid that off.
And you know what was so great about it was that he actually talked about Ben Johnson in said clip.
Oh, so, this is Man Genius,
the Man Genius.
Okay,
talked about how he gave Shoddy his first OC job.
Yeah,
back in the day.
Uh-huh.
So, look, there's a method to the madness, boys.
There's some poor equipment guy that's telling a story about old Mark, like.
Wait, no. Not Mark Mangino, dude. Eric Mangini.
It's Mangini.
Oh, I thought you were talking about...
There's only one Man Genius.
Oh. I thought it was Mangino, too, for majority of that nine
months. Because you're a Kansas guy, I thought you were talking about the coach that was wiping his rear with the towel.
With the towels? Yeah, no, I mean, that is a great story, too.
Okay, that's a good segue.
My bad, Mark Mangino. Okay.
I'd like to take you guys back about 2.5 hours to Fred entering the room and demanding answers from Broadus on calling him out for his hygiene. Yeah. Do you feel a little threatened there? Is that bad for your dating life?
No, I could care less. By the way, there's another there's another toothpick right there.
Yeah, I wanted to get Blake's thoughts on this as sort of an independent and objective observer.
Okay.
Who've been working with Fred for about a year or so now.
Okay.
Broadus is saying,
changed the way
Broadus is alleging his hygiene might be as bad as RJ Choppy's due to the toothpicks, the tank top Thursday that's in effect, and just some general unkemptness.
What does a tank top have to do with hygiene?
You got sweat and all kinds of stuff, hair on chairs and stuff.
Gaslighting, as the kids say.
Is that pubic hair?
No, but I have yet to hear anybody say, oh, hey, Fred, you left... This you know why,
Fred?
Because
no, Fred, toothpicks right here.
Yeah, I copped to the toothpicks.
Fred, we're like,
did I cop to the toothpicks?
You copped.
I don't think there's recovery from the toothpicks. Did I cop to the toothpicks?
Thanks to the DNA
Fred,
test.
I think it's kind of like a bat flip to you now. It's just like, show done. I'm going to bat flip my toothpick into the middle pit.
Nope, don't do it. Don't do it.
They're right there. It's like a Lincoln launch set.
You pointed at one.
Fred, there was one. Oh,
four pickup sticks.
Chief's trying to do a live read, and he looks down and he sees
he said there was one on a remote, okay?
It was on the mouse.
It was a weekend show.
Fred, it was on the mouse.
On a remote. I get it.
It was a weekend pick, dude. It wasn't even a weekday pick.
Right.
Eric was on the mouse.
It was on.
Look, I could be burning heaters in here. You know, I mean, you got to get, you know, six to one, half a dozen to another. I've been a smoker for 30 years. Okay.
Yeah.
Trying to quit. All right. I haven't.
You want us to feel sorry for you?
No, I don't. What's happening now?
You got a Lucy on you?
Huh?
You got a Lucy on you? You got to be like 42. When did you start smoking? Like sixth grade?
14.
Okay.
14.
I mean, it was the 90s. It was a different time. We had a smoking section.
We did that. You said about the bully, Fred.
The high schools we went to, you could have smoke breaks.
Yeah.
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 It was a different
world. You took full advantage of that.
Yeah, you did.
That the Salisbury Steak.
It was more after school that I imbibed and did the things I did. So
what was your last heater? Straight. Last heater.
Earlier today.
That's why there's no toothpick going on right now.
There's no toothpick.
Earlier today. Earlier today was over getting my truck squared away. And, you know, I mean, what better? I mean, have a square hanging out your mouth while you're, you know, working on your vehicle.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
It goes hand in hand.
I mean, that's a given. Come on.
What's coming up on the show tonight, Blake?
Exciting Blake. Stuff. 8 o'clock, my boy Kyrie Irving ahead of schedule on the ACL recovery. So we're going to cover how the Mavs are looking.
Got to touch your habit. Him on.
Come on. ESPN Top 100 came out. How many Mavs players are in the Top 100? It would be excited to talk about that. My boy Fred's got a guest from the Green Bay Packers coming on at 7:40. Who we got coming on at 7:40?
Gabe Neitzel. Gabe Neitzel, okay. Who does the morning show.
Yeah.
So
now, do you resent that you spent 20 years learning radio and Blake stepped in and he's basically showing you how it's done within a year? Is there a little bit of that? Is that why you broke down on him in the parking lot?
Fred's the goat.
No, there was no
none of that.
There's no resentment.
No resentment.
I mean, I know my style works.
Stern distinction up
940,
right there.
940, extra credit. I mean, I got Brian and Fred going earlier. Thought I'd try to go back to back there. He stiff-armed it.
It's pretty good. I'm very resentment.
That's good teammating.
You know, you don't want to go overcorrect one way or the other.
No, you're right.
You're not
right.
A,
no, you got it. Down.
Steady Eddie, man.
I love your guys' show.
Come on.
Yeah.
It is
come
a good on. Show.
That's really why looking we don't, forward that's to why a little you don't want to overdo it.
It is no. a good show.
So, thank you.
Can I ask y'all a question? Do we have a second?
Yeah, we got a minute.
What?
Yeah, we have one.
60 of them.
The Eberflus talked about the communication or the lack thereof. Do we feel like the defensive communication problems will be fixed? Not saying the defense will be better. I'm just saying communication, the one-word stuff that came out the last couple of days. Do we think the defense will be fixed? As far as how they play on Green Bay, execution-wise.
I think they got to play a totally different way. I don't think they can play too deep and think things are going to be okay.
Too broken to fix in 1 week.
Yeah,
but Bland gives me a little bit of hope.
Like, I'm just thinking less about the players and just more about how it looks optically. Because, like, they don't even look like an NFL defense right now. It's not even like, if they had this player, they don't even resemble an NFL defense how they played against the Bears. So I just hope it's not embarrassing on Sunday.
All right. Looking forward to it. The Fan After Dark 7 to 11. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup Master Control. Just went 2+ flawless. Thanks to Woolchuck and Chiafalo and brought us. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 5:30. Steven on at 3. Till then, you're going home with the nation. Addies.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.